Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Ahaya Bahashim Yeshaya HaMashiach. As we are led by the Ruach, we worship today, we rest, we reflect, we praise, we honor, we read the Torah, the Tanakh, for this day was created for us. I am Elder V, along with Elder Andre, and we welcome you. Seems like we got off to a slow start. Nevertheless, though, we are here. We are one. Elder Andre, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Shalom, Shabbat shalom to everyone that's out there. Welcome to another Shabbat, I don't want to say show, but Shabbat broadcast. I call it really a broadcast, really the broadcast of deliverance, because to those who attend this Shabbat class and this broadcast, this is a mixture of my broadcast on Wednesday, which is the truth and nothing but, and also Straight No Chaser. So you mix those two together, and that's, this is what you get, you know. So welcome to the broadcast.
Yeah, brother, seems like the Father definitely has our weapons loaded this morning because of the topic that we decided to take on as we come into the realization that we're moving into a season, a festive season for the pagans and for Babylon and the whore of Babylon and the daughter of Babylon as they prepare to enter into this time of Halloween. And as a matter of fact, for the next 3 months straight, some of the biggest pagan satanic festivals that we used to recognize in the Christian church when we were up under that bondage as being the holidays, which are actually hella days, because we know we are mandated to keep the festivals and the feasts. And that's what we've moved into. But nonetheless, not only do we have those next 3 months coming, we have a presidential election, which is definitely going to cause us to see some changes, I believe, in our world. Our economy, and with the leadership of this global construct that they've put into place, this whole New World Order structure that they have set up. I'm not worried about no New World Order. I'm not worried about no Illuminati. We all know that they're all plants of the fallen angels and the demons, those who are already defeated. Try and build this construct that they know they will not be successful at, but for some reason or another, they think they are. So for the listeners, my Mishpachah brothers and sisters, want to thank you for tuning in. It seems like we're getting off to, like we said, a slow start, but not in all actuality. We kicked it off at the right time because we plan on doing this warfare and getting this message out, getting this lesson out. So what I get to do is I'm grabbing some other scriptures and some things that I need to prepare. I don't know if there's something that you want to go into and talk, or did you want me to play another quick song real quick?
Oh, no, go with another quick song. And then we can get started.
Shalom to another edition of the Hebrew Restoration Assembly, Hebrew Restoration Project, brought to you by the Social Change Action Network. I am Elder V, along with Elder Ardre. And if you're ready, brother, let's get it.
Yeah, let's go. Did you, you said you had some material you wanted to go first, or should we just, or should I just start with one of the three?
I think that, more importantly, we should probably go into the fact of something that, to anoint a special one to speak to soldiers in the war, Deuteronomy 20:2. And the reason I wanted to get into that is to bring Israel and our people into a place of understanding. Right now, I don't have time to catch everybody up today. If you haven't been listening to us every Shabbat 7 day, you have to go back into the archives and understand how we've been led by the Ruach and where we are at this time as it pertains to the laws that were given to us as a people and our culture. Right now, I have to get into this because I just feel that this is a special topic. And I feel that we're living in a time where we're preparing the battles, preparing the troops for battle. We're moving into a serious battle. We are in a warfare. I can't stress this enough. We are in a warfare. We've been in one for quite some time, but it has ramped up, and we are at the final stages. We are at the end of the Gentile rule. We are preparing for Jacob's trouble. We are just all throughout that. So I think that yourself and I, along with many others, have been anointed and called at this time. And this might be conjecture to some people, to speak to the troops, exhort them. And I like the way that Deuteronomy 20:2, which was one of the laws, speaks about that.
Let's start at, actually, to get a better understanding. Let's start at 22 through 4.
You know it's actually the whole chapter.
Well, yeah.
So we could be stuck here. So it's just like if you want to start from which one, number one or? Or you said 2 through 4.
Yeah. And then if you want to go further into it, we can. But let's start off with that too. And let's start off with 2 through 4 and then as the Ruach leads us, we'll go on.
So
do you want me to read it, or you want me to?
I'll go ahead and read. I was getting ready to say. So this particular chapter talks about how to wage war. We were always instructed before we took over different areas, different nations, and went into battle. The Most High gave us instructions, and believe it or not, those instructions would come after a time of a feast or fast or celebration, but because we knew what was to come the next day. But let me go ahead and start with Deuteronomy 20:2. And it shall be when ye are come nigh unto the battle that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. That was verses 2 through 4 out of Deuteronomy 20. Debrahim.
One thing that I noticed about this, first of all, and I don't mean to start off in no negative way, but I just have to say this because it's contrary to the word. And that is that all my life up until recently as I came into the knowledge in the truth of the Torah, that I was raised up in church. And being raised up in church, we are raised not to fight. And so when you come over into the commands teaches us to fight. Matter of fact, I don't know why. I mean, normally the church talks about more spiritual fighting, you know, like Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor. They relate that to spiritual fighting instead of physical fighting. But we're commanded really to do both. And so in Deuteronomy 20:2, it says, and it shall be when you are come nigh into battle, which means it's definitely going to be a fight, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. And so this is encouraging news to all of us, Elder, because of the fact that he's not talking about the reverends and the bishops and the elders. So don't even put that in there. He's not talking about that. He's talking about someone who is knowledgeable of the Torah and someone who is – now, these priests, they represent at that time the anointing of the Messiah. That's why they got anointed with oil. And so – but notice what this priest is going to do. He's going to go and he's going to encourage them in the Torah because that's what they had at that time. And that's what we still have. That the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. Now, what is he speaking? He's speaking the Torah unto them. Verse 3 says, and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day to battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, do not tremble, neither be terrified because of them. For, and I'm reading the King James, but I'm just going to say his name, for Ahiah, your Most High, goeth with you to fight against your enemies. Now, this is the part I like, to save you. And so that word save is the word Yesha or Yasha, which is part of the name of Yahshua, which is also related to what you like to say, elders. Yeshaya. And so that name is that word to save you. Can no one use that word? That word is only in reference to the Most High, because can no one save you like him? And so can no one rescue like you, like the Messiah? And so all this is referring to only him. He's the only one that can win the battle for you. And so during these days and during these seasons, when these pagan holiday festivals are coming upon us, we have to fight against these things and be prepared to fight with, through fasting, prayer, and so on. What do you say about it, Elder?
Well, I just wanted to comment. I'm going to say something on that. That Yasha, which comes from Ishi, which meant man, husband, groom, savior. All those things were combined in that Yasha being the root of that Yeshaya, and a lot of people like to say Yahushua, Yahushua, but that is very important with that name. And I don't want the people to misunderstand that Halloween is not a plaything. There are thousands of people that will be sacrificed, murdered, and kidnapped prior to and during that night. It is a high priestess witch holy day for them. They sacrifice, do orgies, and do rituals to cast spells on Babylon, the people, and society. And everybody innocently participates in this, and we as the called out believers have to be prepared. I and Elder Andre take our position right now to be the type of priest that are spoken of in the word to encourage you and exhort you in battle. And the way we want to exhort you today is through the precepts based upon this scripture, because we were commanded to not go into battle with any type of fear. And there's a couple of precepts I want to give, as in particular Isaiah 41 and 10, that says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And then if you go back to Deuteronomy 20 and 4, where he said, "The Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." Key right there for both of these precepts is that we must go first. And when we go, he will fight. But if we do nothing and we lay back, or if we even participate in these celebrations by doing what we think is innocent, letting our kids go trick-or-treating or going to see some horror film, horror flick, we participate in that. But when we step back and understand the climate of what is going on in Babylon, and we fight in the spirit, we fight through warfare, prayer, and be prepared to protect and defend Israel, our people, because they're looking for them to kidnap and murder and kill and sacrifice to Satan too. That's where the war is, because we're going to take back what's rightfully ours. There's one precept I want to find real quick, which is in the Letters of the Apostles, and it says, no, that's not quite it. Give me 1 second to find it if you got something to say.
Well, yeah. We have to remember, let me just jump on this Halloween thing right quick, that now what I'm about to say, just bear with me. Back in the 80s, this movie Halloween came out, and basically it was about this guy with a mask on who was going around on Halloween and killing folks. Well, Halloween for all these years really have had a mask on, because this mask, and the people don't understand that the real meaning behind and what goes on behind all of this, and it's really against it's a day that's really celebrated in the pagans as well as within the satanic religions, Wicca and all this other stuff. And so we have to be prepared, because they're prepared. They've been prepared. They've been doing this thing. It's been masked over the years, but they've been sacrificing kids and dogs and animals and just doing all, you know, orgies and all kind of wickedness. And so it's time for us as a people to fight back. And really, what we ought to do, I'm going to read Psalms 73. 23 through 25, and 28, is we got to draw near to the Most High, because it says, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by thy right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel." So you shall counsel us even during that time, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Then verse 28 says, "But it is good for me to draw near to the Most High. I have put my trust in the High of the Most High, that I may declare all thy works." And so it's, and also I'm just going to quote James, which is also the Hebrew word Yaakov, that he says, "Draw near to him, and he'll draw near to us." And so we can't go, brother, into this battle just plain, just not prepared, and, you know, no fasting, no praying, no reading scriptures, no remaining, you know, no staying quiet and just hearing what the Most High has to say. We have to prepare ourselves to fight this battle. Otherwise, you're going to lose. We're going to lose.
And I think we're going to put that emphasis on the fact that the called out elders and believers and priests that know this Torah and Tanakh have a mandate, a responsibility on them to begin to pump and prime up the troops for warfare and cause them to shake the fear out of their hearts. For the Most High has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Scripture also tells us that those engaged in a warfare can't entangle themselves with the cares of this world. And that's the biggest thing that Shaitan wants us to do, is to get all entangled in what's going on in this world with this political process, the economy, fear of jobs, money, everything. But we're in a war. And we are seriously in a warfare. We're not just talking or saying that. I did the show at Straight No Chaser Thursday that they're trying to kill Israel physically, literally. And you have got to fight for your babies, for your kids, for your nation, for your people. But know, Elder, that the most encouraging thing is that the Most High said, "As you fight, I will fight for you and cause you to win. As you fight, I will fight for you." So that's something we want to put out there. So we're going to be covering this satanic holy day called Halloween for the next 2 weeks as we combat these demonic spirits. Next month, we're going to tackle that other pagan mess called Thanksgiving. And then the month after that, we're going to tackle the pagan thing called Christmas, the Most High willing. And we're able to get that far because we as a people, we've had our Day of Atonement, Tabernacles, Sukkot. And now as we prepare, they think that it's their time. No, it's not their time. So we must stand up. And this was our culture. This was a part of our laws. And this is the onus is upon us, Israel, to come together and prepare to do battle as a nation. Because one of the edicts that was put out there in the paper you sent me is that when martial law occurs, they want all minorities picked up first and put into these internment camps. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is? Scripture tells us that when we see Christ, we shall be changed, for we shall see him as he is, and we shall be just like him. That makes us become something they don't want to see in battle, because the enemy thinks that we're nothing but mere dust, and he hates the fact that the Father created us from dust but breathed his spirit inside of us, the Ruach, and he can't stand the fact that we became his prized possession, his heart. It was in Satan's heart, and it still is, to destroy the children of Israel, but that will be to no avail. And the other thing, what I want people to understand is I wrote down, let me get this scripture real quick. I wrote it down in the notes, Ecclesiastes 10 and 9. I want to point something out real quick, because I think a lot of people are lulled to sleep during the holiday season as they begin to hear these disarming Christmas songs and the whole thing about Thanksgiving and family and the kids want to go trick-or-treating. Israel falls back to sleep. So we can no longer allow that to happen at the time we're in, the end of the Gentile rule. So let's see. I believe the one I want is Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 10 and 9. Something I want to point out. So it's actually Ecclesiastes 11 and 9.
Okay.
No, that's not it. You got to give me a second to find it. And it pertains to, I'm going to find the precept, but it pertains to that was, is that shall be. So these things that transpired in the times of war, during those times, is that's going to be again. We get ready to move into World War III. We're going to see pandemics, sickness, and then we're going to see martial law hit, and they're going to see them try to fragment this country and then try and destroy us. And it's all about the children of Israel and coming after us. That's one of the reasons why I put one of those photos on the show, to kind of get you pumped up and primed up to remember what they have done to us as a people and never forget. So when it is time, well, it is time to do battle, you'll stand without fear. You'll stand without fear, because that has been done is that shall will be done. Everything there's nothing new under the sun. That's what the scripture is pertaining to. So everything we've seen transpire in history, in our culture, and to our people, they're trying to set that up again with the hopes that they'll be successful, and they will not be successful. So we must prepare ourselves.
Well, one of the things that I think we struggle with is the fact that many of us feel, especially those who are like in prison or just going through hardships, may feel that that the Most High have left them or left us. But he says in his word let me just read Deuteronomy 31 and 6. He says, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, like he had just mentioned, nor be afraid of them, for I hire thy Most High. He is that does go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And then in Hebrews 13 and 5, he quotes this by saying, and I'm turning to it now, reading the latter part of it, where he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so we just have to remember that he's always here. He never left us, nor will he ever forsake us. But one thing that we have to do is we got to do our part, and we got to return back to him. We got to repent, turn back to him, and forsake all of these pagan ways that we have turned to and brought it into our culture. We got to forsake all those things, forsake all, as the scripture says, and return back to him. And then we'll be able to stand and stand with confidence, because we're standing behind the Torah, we're obeying the Torah, we fear him, and everything else goes with that Torah, that's Tanakh. So we got to. That's what we have to do. We have to, and not do it halfway. We got to come all the way. And so it's all about, really, Elder, us doing our part. He's going to do his part, but we got to do our part as well and come back to him.
I want to move into that other point that we put down here, not only to anoint a special one to speak to the soldiers in war, but when engaged in warfare, not to fear the enemy or be panic-stricken. And one of the curses that's on Israel, spoken of in Deuteronomy 28, that fear would strike our hearts and be upon us, that we would be a fearful nation. And I think that now is why it's so critical and crucial for us to not. I said this at the beginning of the year, I'm not going to play the fear card. I'm not going to be fear factor around here. I'm not going to put people in a panic by scaring them, saying this is coming, this is coming, and not say, no, this is what we're doing, or this is what you can do. And we are still in that same capacity as we approach the end of this so-called Gregorian calendar year. When engaged in a warfare, we can have no fear because we understand and believe Torah that says, I am with you and I will fight for you when you go into battle. But you got to take courage, Israel. You have to take courage, take heart, put your shoulders back and walk with your head up. I see a lot of Israel walking the streets beat down because of the vaccinations, the drugs, the chemicals, the food, no nutrition, the despair, the no knowledge of knowing who you are. But those of you who know you, who you are, one of the laws is that you got to pick up your brother whose head's down by telling him who he is and giving him hope and preparing him for the fight and for the battle. So when engaged in a warfare, we have to remember the Most High has not given us a spirit of fear. And I go back to the other scripture. Those engaged in this warfare cannot entangle themselves with the cares of this world.
Well, I'm going to read Deuteronomy, which is Hebrew word Devarim, 3:21-22. And it says, and I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, thine eyes have seen all that Ahiah your Most High have done unto these two kings. So shall Ahiah do unto all the kingdoms whether thou passest. Ye shall not fear them, for Ahiah your Most High shall fight for you. He shall fight for us. And so, as the elder just said, that we're commanded not to fear. And not only that, but if we can go to Chronicles, or I believe it's Second Chronicles. If I'm wrong, it might be First, but let me check first, kind of doing it by ear. Second Chronicles 20:15, where he says, and he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus says Ahiah unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's the Most High's. And so, as long as, let's keep this in mind, as long as he already said that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, as long as the nations gather together to fight against us, which is in turn fighting against him, it's not our battle, really. It's his battle, and so he will fight. He will fight for us. Once again, going back into the the part not to be fearful, but we have to be really of one mind. For in Philippians 1:27 to 1:29, it says, "Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of the Messiah, whether I come to you," this is Paul speaking, "or and see you or be absent, I may hear of your affairs," that, you know, well, I'm trying to get to the point, "that you stand fast in one spirit." Now, this is to the Hebrew brothers. "Stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." So we got to come back to our culture, which is, in our culture, we have to strive together in one mind, one heart, one soul, one spirit, be one as a people. Verse 28 says, "And in nothing terrified by your adversaries." And so he says, don't be afraid of your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition. "But to you, our salvation and that of the Most High." And so he's saying, don't be afraid of our opposition. Now, who is our opposition? It's pretty much the whole world. And who is our opposition? It's pretty much all the religions. And so we got a great multitude, as I just read in Second Chronicles, that's coming against us, Elder. And, yeah, we're few. It looks like we don't have a chance to win. But greater is he who is within us than he who is within the world.
Right, right. No weapon formed against us can prosper. You said that right. You did say the whole world that we have to fight against, and all the religions that were created to keep all the people confused from knowing the truth. But Psalms 83, one of our favorite scriptures as Hebrews, we know that it exposes the fact that "for lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones." That would be your United Nations today. Every nation wants to see us stay down because they got our stuff, all the riches of Solomon's temple and the land and things that we had. They know that prosperity lies within us, and wherever we are scattered at, we bring that prosperity because we are the Most High's people. That scripture I was talking about earlier, 2 Timothy 2:4, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." If you are called out and you got this truth, he has put a sword in your hand. You've been called to be a soldier in this battle. But, Elder, I'm ready to move into something I didn't know if we was going to move into, which is... because this may get take up the rest of the time. It says, "We shall not forget the evil done by Amalek." And if you're aware of this, if you ever tried to do any studies on Amalek as far as it pertains to the world's media, they want you to think that Amalek cannot be found or discovered. I've seen things, writings, people saying that Amalek is the Philistines, Amalek are the Germans, and we know if it's the Germans, those are the Khazars that migrated down to Israel. So they're trying to be hidden because they don't want us to understand who Deuteronomy 25:19 is telling us, saying we shall not forget the evil done by Amalek. And I think this is powerful as one of the laws, because the whole thing about bringing in a black president was to get us to forget or forgive all of the oppression that happened to us as a people throughout the slave trade. They want us to believe we've come very far since Martin Luther King integrated us into a burning house. And they want us to think that we've achieved something when we actually have a man who's iron and clay. He's actually a Hamite and an Edomite combined. Want to know the truth? He said it himself. I think he called himself a mutt. But just because our people see something that looks like us, they want to celebrate.
It's similar to like King Herod, huh?
Exactly.
He was a little mixed. He was a mixture of a Hebrew and Esau, Edomite.
And here this man has endorsed gay marriage and everything that's against Israel. And our people get mad at you if you speak about him. How brainwashed could we be? They get mad if you talk about not endorsing him as a president when he has done nothing for you whatsoever.
Well, I mean, if you want to know the truth, I mean, those of you who are out in the, you know, radio land, whether it be, you know, computer or phone or however way you're coming, this is not off the subject because all this really stems back to this person, Amalek. Let me just read Deuteronomy just to those who don't know who Amalek is and what do the Most High say about this person. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy 25 and 17 through 19. And it says, then we're going to get into this person. And it says, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when ye were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindermost of thee. That's the back part of you know, Israel as they were, you know, moving on. Even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou was faint and weary, and he feared not, or feared nor respected, really, the Most High. Let me go to 19. Therefore it shall be, when the High of thy Most High have given thee rest from all thy enemies round about, in the land which the High of thy Most High giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out, and he means blot out, the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven, thou shalt not forget it. And so if you, to go even further into this, you would have to once again go into Exodus 17 and 8 through 16 and just learn the history of this Amalek tribe and what they did. What they did was they attacked those that was feeble, those that were old, those that were young, that was, you know, behind, you know, because if you're marked going walking long distances or whatever, it's going to be the feeble, the old, and the young that will probably fall behind, and so most likely fall behind, and that's what they did. They attacked them, and they've been doing that. That's not the first time they did that, Elder. They did it you would have to read this in the book of Yasher, but they attacked Jacob on his way to his relatives. They attacked him and stole all his stuff. They attacked Israel when they were having Jacob's funeral. I mean, so they've been sneaking up and attacking us for a while. They caused war against us when we were in Egypt, and they end up losing. And now the history says from their loss, they went up into, or some of them went up into Europe and conquered Europe. And so, and there you have the people who are in Israel today, who claim to be Jews. Those are the Amalekites. But you know the thing, the funny thing, Elder, is I was looking up when I saw that name when you had brought it up yesterday. I thought about it. I was like, wow, let me see. This name, it sounds familiar. And so I thought about it and I looked it up. And once again, this name has, we have throughout the years become so, almost come to worship the Amalekites. And so in the Ethiopic or in the Amharic, the word, the small letter God is word Amalek. And I found that to be, I'm like, wow. You know, for their word for God is the same word as, you know, as Amalek. So excuse me for, you know, mispronouncing the word. And so that's almost the same as us, really.
Mm-hmm.
Worshiping the white man. You put them in the God category.
Well, wasn't that the whole intention of whitewashing all of the images and causing Christ to look like Caesar Borgia, the sixth pope's son? That was the reason they wanted to see all of our people bow down and worship that image, so that that would be put into their psyches?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been, for the most part, if you don't mind me saying, it's worked, because it has worked in the church. It's worked in, I mean, whatever they planned, man, it worked.
Hmm.
And it's amazing, but how good of a job they have done.
Hmm.
You know, but the other part of that, Elder, too, is going back to the Ethiopic language. You know, their small letter case for God is Amalek, but their word for Lord is not only Geta, that's one of them, but the word is Shem. So you got the word Lord for small letter case Lord, Master, Shem, and then you got God, Amalek.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, so there's a little story behind that, because it's like you can look at that and like, okay, wow, that shows at one time that we were, and they did recognize us as the priest of the earth, those that taught the word of the Most High. And so I can understand them putting the word Shem as Lord, because that's what we were at one time. I mean, as far as not as Lord as, you know, the Most High is Lord, but those that has the knowledge of the Most High. I can understand them looking at, okay, those teachers. But then you're going to turn around and put Amalek as God.
Right.
As a small letter case God, not the Most High.
Right.
And so that's been going on. Of course, because of sin and disobedience to Torah, we lost that title, even though the title still are. So it's just, you know, we lost it. And Amalek is still doing what Amalek does. And so therefore, if you read Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, he's still doing what he does.
Well, you know that point I was making earlier about certain things being given to us. You know, a lot of people get upset. I've had people on this show since you and I've been talking that have gone in and out this show. I see when I've started mentioning they black president, they hung up. Better ask me if I care when I'm telling the truth. Yeah, ask me if I care when I'm telling the truth. But the thing is that we don't have the ability to even forgive them for what they've done over the years. And I said this to you last night, because to forgive is to eradicate a debt that you owe. And that debt that they owe for the blood that's crying out of the ground right now from during the slave trade, babies being fed to alligators, all that stuff, I do not have the power, or we do not have the power and ability to eradicate that debt. Only the Most High can. And from what I understand, he's not going to eradicate that. He's going to fight for his people. And in this final war, our brother and Messiah is coming back with his vesture dipped in blood. And you know, I always said on Straight No Chaser, I'll be good today. Coming back to open up a can of, you know what?
Yeah.
It's going to be on and cracking, as we say.
Well, I mean, I forgot to mention that Amalek is Esau's son. And as a matter of fact, his oldest son's son. And so you can put Amalek and Esau in the same basket, because their father is Esau.
That's good. That's key. So, I'm glad you brought that out, because as I was mentioning, if people try to Google Amalek or do a Wikipedia, they have purposely put in confusing different areas you should go to. They try to say Amalek can be the tension between a husband and wife. They say Amalek can be anger, Amalek can be this. You should hear all the ambiguity and the foolishness that is there. So we're trying to, and Audrey's pointing out the truth of the origin of who he really is and who he has become today. So good point, brother.
Well, he's only going by what his name means. And it basically, his name means troubler, one who causes one pain and misery, and one who forces one into labor, one who forces one really into slavery. That's what his name means, and that's what he has done.
And who has done that? Come on now.
Yes, and so when I said that all this is together, you know, we're talking about Halloween, these holidays, all these are his holidays. I mean, he's only really, he's coincided with Babylon, so he's only doing the same thing that Babylon has done. And so, those two really are one to me. I mean, you may disagree or others may disagree, but they're in the same bed, if I can put it in that context.
No, brother, I'm in agreement with you.
Yeah, so these holidays and these pagan holidays and the things that the churches and other religions have picked up, all this is Babylon and Esau and Amalek and all this in one. That's why the elder here decided to bring this person up that the Most High said we must destroy him, and he's in in Revelations. That's exactly what the Messiah is going to do, and you can read this on your own because our time is running short. But let me see. I think it's Revelations. First of all, he mentions it in 2:16. And then 19, chapter 19, 15, and 21, where the Armageddon, he's going to wipe out all these nations. He's going to clean up. He's going to wipe out Esau then. He's going to wipe him out right then and there because, of course, we didn't do our job. So he's going to have to step in that wine press himself. You know, and take care of it.
And eradicate that seed, because there is another seed, and it said that her heel shall bruise his head, and that's got to happen. And we saw the integration of all these pagan holidays through the church back with Constantine, and it's a synthesis, and it's amazing that Satan's premise rotates on the axis of trying to blend these two different things together to create confusion. And we know that the Most High is not the author of confusion. There's one thing they teach in seminary called the Hegelian method, where you take a thesis and you take an antithesis, and they teach you to do this while you're preaching, and then you create a synthesis. And they actually teach people to preach confusion and to blend a pro and a con together. And that's where people in this world even actually get this whole yin and yang thing and all this positive energy crap. Don't fall for that stuff that they try and put out there. So we begin to see the introduction of these pagan holidays through the Constantine era Christians and church. And these slave masters, Amalek, introduced it as well. When they began to let the slaves preach, they also forced them to have a pagan Christmas tree in these churches and tried to change the meaning of Easter and Christmas and Thanksgiving and Halloween as it blended in with All Saints Day. But I know you're going to cover that in the coming next couple of Wednesdays, next week's Most High willing, Elder.
I'm going to pray on it and ask the Most High to give me the wisdom and knowledge to, you know, to do that as well. Let me just say this too, while it's on my mind. It is also Amalek-Esau, because it's his son or grandson, that has defiled our blood.
Yes.
You know, so it's him that has, you know, that has to tried and in some way succeeded in defiling our Hebrew blood. But one thing that he cannot do is he cannot defile our purpose. In other words, the Most High still looked at it as like, okay, that's not going to work. You still Hebrews. And so with just that little, just because you may have got a little drop of Amalek in you or Esau in you, don't mean that you Esau. You're still a Hebrew. And so all the stuff that has happened to us this person has been working with Satan for the longest of time. Matter of fact, once again, if you were to go to the book of Yasher, you'll find out in the book of Yasher that when Jacob was instructed by Isaac to go to, to go to Shem and learn the Torah before Moses brought the Torah. The Torah always been here. He went, and he also told Esau to go, and Esau told him that he's not interested in no word. He's not, and so, this person has always been anti-Christ, if I can put it, anti-Messiah. He's always been that, anti-Torah, lawless, the whole thing. And so when we return back to the Torah, it's going to be that same Esau. Remember, because Jacob I love, Esau I hated, says the Most High. It's going to be this lawless, Torahless, satanic worshiping, and what else? Pagan worshiping, whatever else. People who's going to come against us. It's going to be the same one. Nothing's changed, as the elder says, quoting after Solomon. So here we are again as we coming back to the Torah. It's him that's going to be our biggest opposition, working with and training and conning our fellow Hebrew brother preachers and teachers and evangelists and bishops to lead us even further astray. And so, I give that to the Most High. He'll clean that up himself.
Yeah, he's going to deal with these false prophets and preachers that are leading our people as sheeple right into the herd, into the camps. And, Elder, our people have been so programmed and brainwashed that they are not going to believe what this world is really all about and who is in this world. And when they see Amalek, when they see the serpent, when they see Esau, when they see the evil that's been around them to destroy them, Scripture says men's hearts will fail them for fear, which is why at the beginning of this show we talked about losing your fear and we're pumping you up for battle. We want you to be prepared for what you're going to see has always existed, an inherent evil in a people that wants you dead and wiped off the face of the earth. So wake up. This is not Disneyland. This the whole world has been turned over into the hands of the wicked, and they got you lulled to sleep. They already burped you. Changed your diaper and everything. Now they want to put you to sleep permanently. We sounding the alarm. We sounding the shofar. Wake up, Zion. Put on that strength. For the glory of Ahiah is risen within thee. I felt that one. I know you're ready to run around the church right now, huh, Elder?
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. And let's just be, can I just say this? I know our time is up. But don't take our word as you take the pastor's words in church, where you don't even look this stuff up yourself. Look up this, get in the word and look this stuff up yourself. Don't just take our word. You study to show your own self-approve. And I see it every day. Like, once you get into the word, once you get into the Torah and the Most High open your eyes, you see it on the news, you see it in the movies, you see it everywhere. You see this stuff everywhere. And so Amalek is, to me, he's been unmasked. But but if you're going to stay hypnotized and blind, then he's not unmasked to you. He's only unmasked to those who are Torah obedient, obeying his commands. He gives insight to those who are obeying his commands. So his mask has been taken off to some, but not to all.
Right.
But I wish to the whole Hebrew that is in the diaspora, that they, that we all come together in one heart, one mind, one soul, one spirit, so we can fight this person together and without having any divisions or denominations among us. And so please, I beg you, get into your word and return back to the Most High.
Well, with that being said, it's on. We are one. I like that you said that. Don't worry, I won't play Frankie Beverly today. But you know I like the message. The only reason I'm not going to play it is because I told the elder we're going to be in warfare, and we're going to play this Chase the Devil off the earth for the next couple of weeks, because we're letting them know that we know what time it is. We know what's going on in this world. We are not deceived. We will, and we will not be deceived, and we will cry out loud and spare not. So as we get ready to get out of here, I want you to enjoy the rest of your Shabbat. I say Shabbat Shalom to you. I say that the only sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. Truth is a journey, not a destination. And we say Tawada to all of you in the archives. Be increased. Be studied. Be well-versed. Be learned. Some of your biggest weapons is knowing the scriptures and letting the enemy know when he's in your face that he has to bow down to every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Ahiah. He has to back down, flee. So I'm Elder V.
Elder Dre. Saying Shabbat Shalom to all.
Shabbat
Shalom. Y'all be safe.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth. Outer space to find another race. Oh.